Elizabeth Taylor said to all of her husbands, "Don't worry, I'm not going to keep you long." Da-da. All right. Terrible joke. I know. Terrible. Terrible. But we do have a few thoughts looking at here at a familiar passage of Scripture as we think about the Good Samaritan. And the illustration that's given here to help us. And so we want to look at just kind of a single word tonight, and that is the word compassion. Compassion. When I think that if you look at our world, a lot of times people are saying, well, you know, we need to be compassionate, we need to be loving. And the truth is, the compassionate part that they're talking about is not the same part, because that would be, well, you just accept everybody and everything they do and just, you know, we'll be okay, right? Well, I would dare say that that's not actually compassion. If you're going to let people just go off in the wrong direction, you're not being compassionate. You know, if all of a sudden I was like, okay, all right, I'm going to send Linda and Michael, I'm going to send them to go back to Texas to visit, right? All right, now when you go out here, right here, take a right and hit 90 going that way. That's not going to get you there, right? It's not going to get you there. That's not a compassionate husband, right? Well, you know, it would be to help her get the right direction, right? And I know it's a silly illustration, but do you understand what I'm saying? When it comes to compassion, our world is messed up on what compassion is. And so what we want to do is we want to have a biblical view of compassion. And so as we look here in Luke chapter number 10, Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 25, let's read the account. And the Bible says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" Now remember, when we're reading this, it's kind of the same as it was Sunday night, right? That the Pharisees and the Herodians were coming, what, to try and trip up Jesus, right? So as we look at this, remember that this lawyer, he's saying he is tempting him and tempted him, saying, we'll continue reading, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." But he, willing to justify himself, now remember, that's the lawyer, he's trying to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had," what? "Compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.'" So then here's the question. "Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he, the lawyer, said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." Now it's pretty interesting that ultimately when he asked him, "Well, Jesus, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" Now remember, Jesus knew his heart. And his heart was that he was trying to tempt him, right? He's trying to get him on his side. He's trying to say, "Hey, now Jesus, why don't you tell me about how I'm doing good and how I'm going to get eternal life?" Okay, so then he says, "Well, how do you read it in the law?" And he said, "Well, love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself," right? And if you were perfect, you could do that. But the interesting thing is he only gave him one illustration, and the lawyer realized, I can't even do this one, right? I mean, that's literally what it was, is that the lawyer's like, well, okay, now Jesus, let me just show you here how good of a person I am. Now, who's your neighbor? And I'll tell you about how I've treated all my neighbors real well, right? And so what he's thinking is probably his next door neighbor or his friend or his family, right? And Jesus shows him, yeah, you've broken the law, right? That he couldn't keep this. And so when we look at this, we are going to use the illustration that Jesus gave to help us with the issue of compassion. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your many blessings to us. We do thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. And so I pray that you'd help us over the next few moments. Help us as we look into your word. And I pray that you'd use this very familiar portion of scripture, but help us to be reminded of its truth. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So the illustration is the fact that this man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and ended up, he fell among thieves, right? So he fell among thieves, they stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and leaving him half dead. And so Jesus is using the illustration. And so he uses, first of all, the illustration of the priest, right? If anybody should help out somebody, you would think it would be a priest, right? So he comes over and he sees something going on up ahead. And he's like, yeah, I'm skipping around that, right? So the priest, he goes around. Then a Levite. Now, if you remember the Levites, right? A group of people that was literally, they were set aside for the service of the Lord. That was their job, right? This whole group of people, that this is what you do. You serve the Lord. And what he did is he walked up. Yeah, I'm not messing with that. Goes to the other side and walks away. Now, of course, Jesus using the Samaritan, right, a person that would be hated, that would be looked at as not even truly a Jew, and it would have been, you know, a half Jew. And so it's like, well, we don't even like him. And we're reminded that of, remember the woman at the well, right? And different times when the Samaritans, they would do anything they could to avoid him. And here it was that he's the hero in the story. And so he says, well, there was a Samaritan and he saw it. Well, when he saw him, he helped him. He literally picked him up, put him on his own beast, took him to a place. He mended up his wounds and there helped him, gave a place to stay. And not only that, but he gave enough money so in that way the continual care would happen. And he said, if you spend any more than that, I'll take care of it, right? So we know it. We've heard this many times. But there's three points that I want to look at tonight that will help us to have compassion ourselves, okay? So as we think about that, first of all, we want to look at this. Moments of compassion happen in our day-to-day lives, right? The Good Samaritan here was just going about his day. And if you think about life in general, right, it's just moving along, that we're going along the way. And opportunities come up, and we can see that when the disciples, when they were going around preaching the gospel, right? They were going from this city to that city, and as they had an opportunity, they preached the gospel, right? And so we can see that in life, that it does take place, that moments of compassion happen in our day-to-day life. Many times people are looking for an event, something big, right? And sometimes what we're doing is we're missing out on the opportunities that God has for us because sometimes they might not be showing, right? How many people know about the deeds of this Good Samaritan? Well, a lot of people now because it's written in the Bible. But I'm talking about even the illustration of this man, it would have been that it was him and this guy who's hurt, right? And now an innkeeper. So we're talking about three people. Three people who knew what the Good Samaritan did, but yet in his day-to-day life, he found moments to show compassion, right? So he's traveling. He's just going about his business from Jerusalem to Jericho. And we don't even know what his business was because of it being a parable. But he was going about his day-to-day life, and a moment showed up that he could show compassion. And in our lives, many times, you know, we're not looking for moments to show compassion. Sometimes moments of compassion come when you stop to let somebody go in front of you in traffic. I know it's silly, but you know, God cares about those things as well. How we behave, how we act, how we do those types of things. How we treat the waiter, the waitress. Those are moments, they're opportunities in our day-to-day life to show compassion. And so it is, you know, obviously the big fires in California. We know the big hurricane that happened there in North Carolina. We think of those moments where it's like, okay, here's our opportunity to show compassion. But the truth is, we're missing out on much more opportunity. I don't think that's right. All right. I know, Miss Tiffany, you're going to get me with the grammar there. All right. I'm just teasing. But when it comes down to it, we're missing out on opportunities to show compassion. Right. We're missing out. If we're waiting for these big events, hey, let's look for opportunities in our day. Spouses, we should be looking for opportunities to show compassion to our spouse day to day. Right. February 14th coming up, right? I know. All the couples in here. Yeah, we don't do nothing for Valentine's anyway. That's fine if you do or if you don't. But sometimes, you know, we're waiting for a big anniversary trip, and yet in the moment today, I'm snippy with her, or I'm a jerk. Well, what should I be looking for? I should be looking for opportunities to show compassion. All right, so moments of compassion happen in our day-to-day lives. Don't be looking for the big events. Look for the small opportunities along the way. All right, secondly is this, and I know it's wordy, but just for a moment here, others' lack of compassion, listen, does not negate my responsibility to show compassion. I said, I know it's wordy, but listen, the Samaritan could have said, well, I saw that priest walk by. I saw him go to the other side, maybe. I saw that Levite. He came and he looked at him and he just went around the other way. Well, if they're not going to do anything about it, I'm not either. You know, we do that a lot. We do that a lot. It is interesting that I found that some of the dumb things we did in high school, you know, we still do them as adults. In this sense, what are you talking about? Sometimes we, do you remember what it was like with the popular kids? You were kind of hoping to talk to them, maybe hoping to have, you know, I know there's somebody in here that's saying, well, I didn't care about any of that stuff. Well, praise the Lord for you. I did, okay? But truthfully, you know, you're like, oh, this guy's a nerd. I am not talking to him, right? That's why I'm thankful Linda and I met later in life, right? Wasn't the four-eyed geek in high school. Hi, I'm a weirdo. No, but you understand what I'm saying? Is that, listen, that sometimes in our day-to-day life, we're still acting like we're in junior high, where it's like, I don't know. I don't think these people could do much for me, for my ego, for my reputation. And we do that. We do that. I would say it's human nature. Therefore, it's wrong. But it's in us. That sometimes we're saying, well, you know, others can help them, or others can be compassionate, or others can be kind. Yeah, well, they're not, so I'm not either. No, it doesn't work that way. I think maybe somewhere, maybe an eye for an eye, right? Yeah, what is the Buttercream Gang? Anybody remember that movie? Feature Films for Families, right? Anyway, this is the Buttercream Gang, and so the guy gets up there and he's like, an eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. Okay, right. I know it's dumb. I remembered that, right? But it does say, all right? But truly, many times, we're not going to show compassion because others aren't, or because, again, it's not going to help me and my reputation. It's not going to be something here. The golden rule isn't treat others how they treat you. Isn't that what our world teaches? Our world teaches that. Well, you treat them, I'll show you respect if you show me respect. I get it, and I understand what we're saying, but most of the time, we're kind of showing our biblical ignorance when we say things like that. Well, if you'll treat me right, then I'll treat you right. I believe Jesus said, why don't you go ahead and turn the other cheek, right? And so when it comes down to showing compassion, just because others aren't, and just because somebody else isn't, it doesn't negate my responsibility to be compassionate, right? Aren't you thankful that Jesus was compassionate regardless of what we had done? None of us deserve anything from him. And yet his example that he set before us, who did Jesus go after? The down and outers? The castaways? Those that have been cast out by society? And Jesus said, hey, I'm coming to talk to you. Why? Well, because most of the time, those were the ones that would receive him. To as many as received him, right? And sometimes, the Pharisees, I don't need Jesus. I'm very fair, you see. Right? They didn't need him. And that's, Jesus died for them. And he wants them to experience his compassion. But listen, just because others aren't, doesn't give you a pass. Doesn't give me a pass. The Levite and the priest, they should have stopped. They should have stopped. They should have helped him. But yet the Samaritan said, regardless of what they did, I want to make sure I'm right with the Lord, that I'm doing what's right. Okay? So others' lack of compassion doesn't negate my responsibility to show compassion. Now, everybody's favorite point, lastly tonight, is this: compassion costs. Compassion costs. Now, here's the truth of the matter. I'm a full-blood American, and I'm thankful that God placed me to live in this country. I try to remind myself daily that I could have woke up in life and been in Somalia. No thanks. So I'm thankful, right? Aren't you thankful as well, right? We're thankful. We're thankful for those things, yes, okay? But American culture is this. We like it when compassion costs money, because that's a lot easier. What do you mean? It's easier for us when we can just throw a little money at it than for me to throw some time at it. It's easy, right? Let me show you a perfect illustration. The issue of missions. It's a lot easier for me to fill out that envelope that's right there in front of you and give $5, $10, $20. Praise the Lord, maybe somebody will give $1,000 to missions, amen? And we should give, right? We should. That's our responsibility. However, many times it's easier for us to give money to the missions program. I want to say this with tender love and care. But it's easier for us to cut a check than to show up on Saturday for Grow. I'm saying that to myself too, okay? It's easier sometimes. So when we talk about compassion costs, the truth of the matter is, yes, to the Good Samaritan, it cost him money. He literally paid for his room. He paid for the materials to help him bound his wounds. He paid for all those things and even said, hey, if this costs more, I'll pay that, right? So I'm not saying that we shouldn't give. Obviously, we should. And that doesn't, Brother Mark says, no, don't give your money because that's wicked. No, right? But what I'm saying is that sometimes compassion doesn't cost money. Sometimes compassion costs time. Sometimes compassion costs convenience. This man is going about his business. Well, where was he going? Well, from Jerusalem to Jericho, right? The man that was about killed, right? He was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. And the Good Samaritan comes along. Where was he headed? I don't know, elsewhere. He wasn't headed to the middle of this road between Jerusalem and Jericho. He wasn't headed there. So it cost him time. It cost him convenience. It cost him some of his own, where he was headed and those types of things. And so when it comes to it, compassion does cost, and sometimes it costs money. But yet, it's a worthy investment. A worthy investment. So we need to show compassion, regardless of the cost, regardless of the convenience. Sometimes kindness and compassion needs to be shown regardless of how much it costs me. Now I know that there are users and abusers. And I'm not just talking about drug addicts or things like that, okay? I understand that there are people who abuse people's compassion, okay? Does that happen? Right. That happens. Happens a lot. And what I would say to that is this: remember, God keeps the record books. That God, he knows those things, right? You know, the issue of sowing and reaping is I want it to happen how I want it to happen, when I want it to happen. So in this issue, so compassion. Sometimes the way we can interact is that the Good Samaritan could say, I showed that man compassion. Now, someday he's going to show me compassion. That's how we usually like it. But when we understand that God keeps the record books, that just because I'm compassionate to one person, it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to get compassion from that person. But the issue of sowing and reaping is the fact that when we'll be compassionate, whether it's that person or someone else, compassion will be showed to us. What are you talking about? The fact that God is compassionate to us. Why? Because he's good. Because he's merciful. Because it's who he is. And so, in response, we should be compassionate people. And so when we think about this, I know it's a simple, simple thought. But the truth of the matter is that we both need compassion and we need to be compassionate. We need it. Truth is, sometimes we're the man in the ditch. Now, our pride doesn't like that. We like to be the Good Samaritan. But the truth is, sometimes we're the man in the ditch. And aren't you thankful for those that showed compassion to us? I'm thankful for that. And we should be thankful. But also understand that we need to be compassionate people. No, not that we just say, oh, whatever you're doing, that's great, I'm with you. No. But what we do is that we love as Jesus would love. That he is compassionate, he is caring, and we should be as well. Lord, we thank you so much for your many blessings. We pray that you'd help us. God, first of all, we want to thank you. Thank you for your compassion toward us. God, Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God, you showed compassion to us, and we thank you so much for it. We pray that you'd help us in response to be compassionate. God, we are in a world that's hurting, that's even rebelling against you, but God, yet we need to be compassionate people who do at times bind up the wounds, that sometimes invest our time and our finances, whatever it is, God, that we be compassionate people. And truly, in doing so, we're just showing your love to others. So I pray that you'd help us to do that. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.